be different people. And our passion for reaching lost people would be totally different. And I also think that sometimes if we could just stand on the cusp of heaven and to see what Isaiah saw, our level of adoration for the Heavenly Father would be so much greater. This is what Isaiah says he saw. I saw the Lord high and exalted and seated on the throne. And the train of his robe filled the temple. And above him were the seraphim, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, and with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying, and they were calling out one to another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the sound of their voices, the doorpost and the threshold shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. And Isaiah's reply, "Woe is me, for I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among people of unclean lips, and my eyes have now seen the King, the Lord Almighty." You see, Isaiah was in a place where he's trying to just describe for us a little bit of what he saw. And I've looked for ways in which to say, how can I express to God what my finite mind observes about his awesomeness? And perhaps the best way was suggested to me by a friend, and he said, you know, one of the things that I do is I try to pray and look at God through the eyes of David, the psalmist, the man after God's own heart, the one that we're given so many glimpses into God's beauty and majesty through. And I thought to myself, I wonder what that looks like as I begin to turn through the pages of the book of Psalms. And I think about what it would be for me to consider and to pray adoration to the Father through the words that God's Word has already given us. And I go to chapter 8, and I begin, and I pray, "Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all of the earth. You've set your glory in the heavens, and through the praise of children and infants, you have established a stronghold against your enemies, to silence the foes and the avengers. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of him? Human beings that you care for them. For you have made them a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned them with glory and honor, and you've made them ruler over the works of your hand. And you put everything under their feet, and all the flocks and herds and the animals of the wild and the wild birds in the sky and the fish in the sea and the swim in the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all of the earth." And David teaches us to pray. And I look and I go to chapter 9 and I see ways in which we see the psalmist praying, "I will give thanks to you, O Lord, with all of my heart. I will tell of your wonderful deeds. I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing the praises of your name." And I see Psalm 19. Again, the psalmist, well, "The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the works of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech, and night after night they reveal knowledge. They have no speech, they use no words, no sound is heard from them, yet their voice goes into all the earth, and the words of the earth to the ends of the world. In the heavens God has pitched a tent for the sun, and like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, like a champion rejoicing to run the course. It rises from one end of the heavens and it makes the circuit to the other. Nothing is deprived of its warmth." You see, over and over throughout the book of Psalms, as you turn the pages and you read about the descriptions of the Almighty God, we continue to see the ways in which we can praise God through our prayers. And as we begin to pray, I think it's important to begin with adoration, because it places us in the position of understanding who it is that we are speaking with, why it is that we can bring requests, and why it is that we come before asking for forgiveness, and why it is that we can say thank you for the things that we do say thank you. But it all goes back to, who are you talking to? Who is this conversation with in the first place when we pray? This is the Almighty. This is the Lord of Lords, the one whose name is majestic in all of the earth. Chapter 24 says this: "The earth is the Lord's and everything that's in it, and the world and all who live in it." This is who you're praying to. Lord, you founded it on the seas. You established it on the waters. Who may ascend the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in His holy place? The one who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not trusted in an idol or sworn by a false god, they will receive blessings from the Lord. You see, the psalmist gives us insight into how does adoration take shape? How does it form? Look at chapter 29. "Ascribe to the Lord, you heavenly beings. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength." Ascribe to the Lord means give it to the Lord the glory that's due to His name. Worship Him in splendor, in His holiness. The Lord's voice is over the waters. God of glory thunders. And the Lord thunders over the mighty waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is majestic. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The Lord breaks in the pieces the cedars of Lebanon. You see, the Lord, verse 10, sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord is enthroned as King forever. The Lord gives strength to His people. And the Lord blesses His people with peace. Maybe you think about the one that's a little more familiar as we sing it in song. When Psalm 34 speaks and says, "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. I will glory in the Lord and let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let's exalt His name together. I sought the Lord and He answered me, and He delivered me from all of my fears. Those who look to Him are radiant, and their faces will never be in shame. The poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and He saved him out of all of his troubles. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." Perhaps as you think about the scriptures that speak to the awesomeness and the power of God, your mind goes to Psalm 95, when we read about the psalmist and he says, "Come, let us sing with joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation." Let's come before Him with thanksgiving, and let's extol, let's praise, let's adore Him with music and song. Why? Because the Lord is the great God. There is no other. There are idols, but there is no other God. The Lord is the great God. He is the King above all gods, and His hands are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to Him. The sea is His. He made it, and with His hands He formed the dry land. Come, let us worship and kneel before the Lord our Maker, for He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture and the sheep under His care. You guys that just got back from Alaska, you were probably able to see a few mountains, I imagine. I imagine that some of the things that you saw in creation this week far exceed things that you typically run around and catch, you know, on your average trip down to Columbia, right? You saw the mountain peaks. You saw the seas. You saw the ice caps. You saw the creatures that God's hand has created. And it's as we pray, I want you to think about those things in time to come. And think about the mighty hand that was able to place every star in the sky. Stars that we haven't been able to find yet and even count yet, because we want to adore the God that we pray to. God is almighty. A description of His power. You know, I thought about, you know, in college you take a class, sometimes you guys that go into healthcare, called A&P. It's anatomy and physiology. It talks about the specifics or the parts of the structure of the body, but then you also have, how does that body function? You know, and I think about that's kind of like A&P for us as we pray. You look at the Almighty God, and that speaks of the power that He has. But then you think about His place in the world, and that's, He's all over. There is no limits to where God is. We use the word omnipresent, but it means He's all over the place. He's everywhere. You think about He's all-knowing. He's all-loving. And I think about the person of God. I think about His heart for us. And so when I'm seeking to say, God, this is who I'm praying to, and this is what I adore and appreciate You, maybe it's about the love that He has poured out for us. Maybe it's, God, You who loved me when I was unlovable. God, thank You for Your God of patience and of mercy and of kindness. God, thank You for, and I begin to praise God for His personage, just the heart of who He is. But not only that, I think about the pardon that He gives us. I think about the forgiveness, and I praise Him for that, His patience. The A of that is the atonement that He brings us in Christ. And I'm just in awe of the goodness of our God. And so as we pray, I want to challenge us to work this week on reading through the Psalms and seeing places and ways in which we can say, God, You're awesome. God, You are almighty. There is no one like You. Maybe we begin by just praying through the Psalms and reading those words and putting them into your words and letting those words come out of your heart into the presence and throne room of God. As I thought about how to bring this together at the end is two psalms that, again, they're songs we sing, but I think about Psalm 46 when we have this beautiful praise and the stillness and the silence of God is talked about as well in His presence. But Psalm 46, God is our refuge and our strength, an ever-present help in our troubles. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth gives way and mountains fall to the heart of the seas, and though the waters roar and foam, and the mountains quake with their surging, and the rivers whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her, and she will not fail. God will help at the break of day. Nations are in uproar, and kingdoms fall. And He lifts His voice, and the earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see what the Lord has done, the desolation He has brought on the earth. He warns, He makes war cease to the ends of the earth, and He breaks the bow and shatters the spear and burns the shield with fire. And He says, be still and know that I am God. Psalm 46 is full of all kinds of tragic racket and noise and chaos. The wars, the streams, the rivers, the roaring water, the sounds, the crushing. And in the middle of all of it, God says, be still and know that I am God. But juxtaposed to that is this stillness in the adoration of God. But the very next psalm, Psalm 47, begins, clap your hands, all you nations. Shout to God with cries of joy. For the Lord Most High is awesome. The great King over all the earth. He subdued nations under us, people under our feet. He's chosen our inheritance for us, the pride of Jacob whom he loved. God has ascended amidst the shouts of joy. And the Lord amid the sounds of trumpets. Sing praise to God, sing praise to God, sing praises to our King. For God is the King of all the earth. Sing to Him praise, psalms of praise. God reigns over all the nations and He's seated on His holy thrones. And the nobles and the nations assemble as the people of the children of Abraham. For the kings of earth belong to God. And He is greatly exalted. That kind of puts everything in perspective, doesn't it? He is to be greatly exalted. So on one hand, the Almighty and the power of God causes us to fall silent in His presence, to draw and to be in a place of be still and know that I am God. And on another hand, there should be such joy in the celebration of who God is. He says, clap your hands, all the earth. Rejoice with shouts of joy because He's our God. And He is to be greatly adored. Lord, teach us to pray. You see, when your prayer life has been grounded, maybe for a period of time, you may begin that beautiful conversation all over again with our Creator, with our Father. He wants to hear from you. He longs to hear from you. Start with adoration. Acknowledge who He is. Affirm your understanding of who our God is. Adore Him, our Almighty, the great Adonai. Maybe today is the day that as we think about the power of prayer, as we think about our lives, maybe you have something in your life that you'd like to pray about. Maybe it's just there in your seat where you're sitting, but maybe it's something you want to talk to someone else about. Our elders are always available. They'll be at the back of the room and at the doors and even down front if it's something of a public nature. We want to pray with you. If you're sitting by a friend that has invited you and says, you want to ask them and say, look, I want to be a little more accountable. Can you help me? Can we do this together? Can we pray together? Maybe it's your spouse. Maybe there's a heart that says, I need to be praying with my wife. I need to be praying with my husband. This needs to be part of our marriage and the way that I'm leading our family to the Lord. Whatever it is, I challenge us this week to begin that conversation from a position of adoration. And as we sing this song, may we reflect on our hearts and our minds, and if there's anyone with any need, maybe you'd like to talk about what it means to become a Christian, about following Jesus with your life. We'd love to talk to you. We'd love to have that conversation. If there's any way we can encourage you, won't you come as we stand together and as we sing?